Well, good morning. It is May the 20th in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. It is so good to be back with you. I've so appreciated Dan Wilt and then Susan Kent before him. And I've looked forward to this day. Wow, I'm trying to remember how to do this now. We're launching into the second season of the Acts of the Apostles, chapters 15 through 28. We're coming out of the halftime locker room, and we're getting ready to take the field. So let us enter in with a prayer of consecration. Are you ready, guys? You know this prayer. Sometimes a prayer like this can become too familiar and we can sort of go to sleep on it. We can't do that. We have to enter more deeply into it. So that's why we begin by saying, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, "The Gospel is Jesus plus Nothing." Our text is Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved." This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them, "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." The word of the Lord. And we say thanks be to God. Now consider this. I was with someone the other day, and he said something riveting to me. I don't remember the context of the conversation, and I can't even remember exactly who it was. What he said captivated my attention, and I can't stop thinking about it. It was one of the simplest and truest things I have heard in a long time. You want to know what it is, don't you? The gospel is Jesus plus nothing. At the halfway point, the gospel of Jesus Christ faces its first real doctrinal battle. That's what's going on in Antioch. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Beware of, quote, certain people. They usually carry the authority of some institution or organization, often with a position or a title. They are often super confident and emphatic about what they're saying. They like pairing words like unless and cannot in the same sentence. There's another name for certain people. Yes, the text will go on to tell us they are Pharisees, but that's not the name I was reaching for. I would call them doctrine cops. And to be sure, they are not the bad guys. Doctrine is a good thing, until it's not, which is when it gets added to, quote, the grace of our Lord Jesus, unquote, as a further requirement for salvation. The gospel is Jesus plus nothing. No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. The reason we have such a fractured church is because everybody wants to add their own little something to Jesus. Their unique insight, or special sauce, or corrective teaching. And nobody means to do it. The problem is how it shifts the emphasis away from Jesus and onto the little nuance, in this case, circumcision. The Baptists are about their baptisms. The Methodists are about their methods. The Pentecostals are about recreating the day of Pentecost. The Reformed Church is about its reformations. And the Catholics are about, well, I'll stop there before somebody throws something. Sure, I am oversimplifying to make my point, but you understand the point by now. The gospel is Jesus plus nothing. Doctrine will have its place. Distinctions will proliferate like flavors of ice cream. Discipline will become important. But when doctrine and distinctions and discipline get added to Jesus like the small print on a contract, we are on our way to a church Jesus is not building. I take it you know the law of contracts. The big print giveth, and the little print taketh away. Only 15 chapters into the story of the church, they are sorting it out for us. We must get the big print right. And the big print is as follows. The gospel is Jesus plus nothing. That feels like a good place from which to dive into season 2 of the Acts of the Apostles, doesn't it? The prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Indeed, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. How about on this first day, let's sing that prayer together. You know it's a hymn, of course. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. Just kind of got the feel of being put on a potter's wheel there. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. So for the journal prompts today, and I hope a lot of you have been able to get one of our journals. It's certainly not too late to order them. We've got them. We're on the ready to ship them right away. We're going to be at this for 14 weeks, okay? 14 weeks. And we've put the text, just as we have it in the wake-up call, in the email, the same version. We've gotten the special permission to use the NIV. It's going to be printed every day in the book. It'll just be like your own Book of Acts book. But there'll be a lot of space to write, and every day I'll be giving you journal prompts. Certainly, you don't have to get one of these. It's not a required text. Acts is required, but not the journal. But I'd love for you to get one. Because, guys, guess what? If we don't move those out of the warehouse, you know what they become? Toilet paper. These have a very short shelf life, and I'd love to get it on your shelf as a reference from henceforth. All the things that the Lord is going to teach you and teach us together through this series. It's a great place to capture it all. I go back and look at my journals all the time, just to keep in step with what the Spirit's saying and doing. Here they are, the prompts. Why do we want to add our own little and big nuances, twists, and features to the simple gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it easy for you to accept the comprehensive simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or do you tend to want to add your own sense of qualifications? Now, we're going to sing a hymn today. You're going to love this one. It's perfect. We're going to sing a hymn every day we're together here for this series. This hymn is called My Hope is Built. It's number 102 in our seedbed hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. You can grab a copy from Seedbed. There's a link in the post today. It's actually, we'll give you free shipping if you use Wake Up Call for the code. Guys, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get us all in the same book, on the same page. But again, these are just invitations, not pleadings. All right, you ready? My hope is built. We're going to sing all four verses. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. All right, I know some of you may be new here, and you're like, is that guy really singing the hymn on the recording? Yes, I really am. But I'm singing with faith that you're singing with me. And I didn't hear enough of you out there as I hit that first verse, okay? This song, we could retitle this song to say the gospel is Jesus plus nothing. We're going to go to verse 2. Maybe you don't know the verse, but listen, you're going to pick the chorus up if you don't already know it. I want you to sing out right where you are as an act of worship to Jesus, who is ascended to the right hand of God. Here we go. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. I think I heard some of you harmonizing with me out there. God bless you. I'm going to get my dad back to join me some on these hymns. He is so good on the bass line. And there's nothing like hearing the parts on a great hymn of the church. Well, you know me, I could go on here, but we've got the next, I don't know, 90-100 days together. We got 14 weeks on this series. So let's settle into it. We're going on a journey. We're on the way with Jesus. We're following Jesus with his apostles. And there's no place I'd rather be than doing it with you. And now, friends, we got to get ready to hit the fields today, the fields of awakening. Gather up your seeds. I've got mine. I'll see you on the field. It's for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.